You're listening to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, and I'm here with my guests.
Bonnie Dillard.
Layla Pyle.
And what are you guys here for? I think it's something related to marine debris.
Well, we have some ideas about creating Christmas ornaments for the Capitol Tree Project. The design was chosen last year for one of 10 artists. I designed a fish ornament made out of marine debris to be on the Capitol tree, which is the Christmas tree in Washington, D.C. this year. And my student, Layla Pyle, is very interested in marine debris and working with children and art. So we're talking about getting a class going here and getting some kids organized and get some ornaments made so that we can get more people interested when they see them and get them involved, because I think there has to be 4,000 ornaments made.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Well, for listeners who didn't hear the newscast yesterday, then you might not know about this project that Bonnie's a part of. Could you elaborate a little more about?
Sure. Every year, a different state of the union is chosen to provide the Christmas tree for the Capitol. And this year, it's Alaska. And there'll be a Sitka spruce taken down to Washington. And then the ornaments are created by people in the state. And so what they did is they had a call to artists, and 10 different artist designs were chosen. And each artist made up an example and a lesson plan so that teachers in the state of Alaska, or libraries, or any kind of community organization, can get together a group of people and create these ornaments. And that way, the lesson plans are all laid out. You don't really have to be an art teacher, but you just have to want to participate. And then these ornaments are created. They have to hold up outside. So the ones made out of marine debris are just one of the options. There are 10 different options. If you go to the Capitol Tree Project online, you'll see. And so the one I'm working on is marine debris, and Layla has worked with me when we did the sculptures, the octopus downtown, and did you help me with the fish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fish and octopus.
Yeah, so she's helped me with both of those big sculptures, and she is going to school for art and environmental science, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be somebody I'm going to look to help me organize some of these ornament-making gatherings.
That's great, because you need 4,000, right?
Well, from the whole state. We don't have
state.
To create.
Oh, good. That's
yes.
A lot less difficult, I thought.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have a lot of kids.
Yes, but I do want a good showing from Kodiak.
Yeah,
I would like for that to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I know there's another artist in Kodiak who's involved, but we do not know her name, and we would love to discover that. So if anyone knows this other mysterious artist who's involved in Kodiak.
Actually, I went online and there's a misprint.
It's a misprint.
Oh. Yes, she's from Kenai.
Oh, I knew
so
that.
This
no
is the only.
Because I called, there. She shares a last name with someone in Kodiak.
Oh, okay.
And I called, like, a couple of days ago, I called this nice southern gentleman, and I'm like, I used the phone book, and I haven't used that for a long time, and I say, I'm looking for this one person, and I forgot her first name. So I run back to the computer, and I find her first name, and I go back, and this guy doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know who I'm talking about. He's at home. He's very, very nice, and he's willing to stay on the line, getting a call from a random person, and he has never heard of this woman. And I'm like, this family has been in this town forever, and he hasn't heard of this woman, so.
Yeah, she's in Kenai.
All right, well, that makes
that
a lot of sense.
That solves that problem.
The mystery of the family that's been here forever and hasn't heard of their cousin or whoever
yes.
this woman would be. Anyway,
yes.
Okay, so you'll be the only artist from Kodiak involved.
As far as the lesson plans for this particular, yes.
Okay.
That's ornament.
Good to know that.
Yes.
And if you see on the website, there's a list of artists, and many of them are from Sitka, and that stood out to me, so that's the only place I remember. But now we have Kenai, someone from Kenai.
And there's a friend of mine from Fairbanks, and I believe there was one from Wasilla. I'm not positive, but they're from all over the state, so different parts of the state will be represented. But I want Kodiak to have a really strong showing.
Yeah, and hopefully the workshops will pop up. What's the deadline?
I still don't know the deadline. I did look up the artist, but I am assuming by the end of October, first part of November, things would need to be mailed just so they'll have enough time to get down there.
Well, let's just say as soon as possible. Yes. I was surprised to learn that this was a summer activity because Christmas seems so far away.
Yeah, it
but
does.
It's a big deal. And
yes.
It takes a lot of organizing, and I'm sure they've been working on this for months.
Yes.
So. Yeah, yes. And could you elaborate a little bit more about your particular project and what steps do you need to take in order to complete one of these shapes?
Sure. It is made out of marine debris. I wanted to make a statement about one of the environmental concerns we have here in Kodiak. So although I wrote in my lesson plan, if you recycle something like, say, a colorful detergent bottle, that works too. Just we're still thinking about plastic and how much we use. So you cut out different colors of plastic and you wire them together, and there's a template for a fish, or people can make up their own fish, something about the ocean. So that represents this part of Alaska. So, cutting out some of the heavier plastic, you may need a scroll saw. So, the adults organizing the event need to plan that out, and they can call me and I can go and help and give specific, tools, you know, or tell them about what tools they need for cutting the plastic. And then you need to drill holes for wiring because glue won't work.
Why doesn't glue work?
Two pieces of plastic, when you glue it together, if you had a really strong glue, like, say, E6000, you'd need to clamp it. And if a child has five or six fins and things sticking off their fish, you'd have five or six clamps, and it'd be kind of tricky. So drilling a hole and wiring it works really well, and you don't have to have all those clamps, and I don't want kids breathing that yucky glue.
Yeah, and possibly getting their fingers stuck permanently with plastic.
Yeah.
Which would be unpleasant as an experience.
Yes.
Yeah, so I also took a picture of you yesterday holding a couple of examples, and they really are visually appealing. Like, they look really nice. They're so bright, and they're fish, and you can kind of see what they're made out of, and there are these different textures. So it's really interesting. So can you talk about some of the marine debris that you kind of cut up to make?
Sure. There's a lot of bottles, and unfortunately water bottles, which are completely unnecessary. But there are a lot of gas cans, baskets. So you have some woven type textures. What else, Layla? You've done a lot of work with
debris.
Yeah,
I've actually done a lot of the cleanup too.
Yeah, so she's a...
For the last three summers, I've worked for the Youth Conservation Corps, with the Youth Conservation Corps for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service here on the refuge. And all three summers we've been involved somehow in Island Trails Network's marine debris cleanup efforts on the island. And last year, I was lucky enough to go out down to Tagetik Island on the southern tip of the archipelago and spend a week picking up debris there. And it was really, really interesting for me to see what kind of things were washing up. So mostly bottles, like Bonnie said, and a lot of foam, which is unfortunately not really useful in our projects. It just falls apart. Odd bits of plastic. Different textures of plastic, definitely, in different thicknesses, buckets and bottles, and also rope and buoys.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fishing debris is definitely something we find.
And there was a recent barge that was in town to take away a bunch of marine debris that's been collected on the island for quite a while, and not just from the tsunami, although the project was largely funded by this Japanese government, but... marine debris has been washing up for years and years and years, and it's a big issue. So could you talk a little bit about the dangers of marine debris?
Yeah, definitely. So marine debris is really hazardous to our ocean ecosystems on a number of levels. For one, really big pieces of debris are entanglement hazards for all sorts of animals, so fishing line and fishing nets, as well as packing straps and like six-pack rings are all in. Fish can get entangled in them, marine mammals can get entangled in them, and plastics are also really hazardous when they break down into their constituent parts or just tiny, tiny little pieces of plastic. They can be ingested and enter the food chain and then bioaccumulate in larger animals and even fish that we eat. So it's a really terrible problem that we don't know completely what we're doing to our oceans by putting so much plastic in it. And another thing that, yeah, like you mentioned, a lot of the marine debris cleanup efforts in coastal Alaska in the last few years have been funded by the Japanese government after the tsunami. But, I mean, Tagetik Island, I know a crew went down there first around 2009 or so. And so last year is the last year that Island Trails Network picked up marine debris there. So 2014, so 5 years. And the same beach was cleaned up multiple times and new trash was washing up. So 2009 was before the tsunami and there's a lot there already. So it's definitely a local problem as well. We don't know where everything is coming from.
I was interviewing Tom Pogson, well, frequently last week, about the cleanup, and he talked about one of the studies done of marine animals and ingesting plastic, and how there were studies saying that after they ingested the plastic and it kind of went through their systems, that they would produce less children at the end of the cycle or their natural cycles. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with that, but it makes sense. I mean, plastics are organic compounds, so it definitely makes sense that if it breaks down enough that it could mess with hormone systems, endocrine systems.
Yeah, there are just tons of effects
Yeah, we don't even know the beginning of what the long-term effects are going to be. Because when was plastic invented? It hasn't been that long ago.
Not very long.
So we're just now discovering some of the dangers.
Yeah, so if anyone out there wants to continue to volunteer, I'm sure Tom and the rest of the Island Trails team could really use the help. Mm-hmm. It's a constant battle. It's not just from tsunamis. It's going to keep on going on. So, and if you haven't heard, again, the marine debris story we did at KMXT last week, the organizers behind Alaska Gulf Keeper say that this is a big marine debris project, this barge that came last week. It's probably going to happen again. The barge is going to have to come around again in a few years. So. Right.
But it is definitely something that is just the tip of the iceberg. The main problem is that we as a society have got to be more aware of what we're doing in the choices we make every day. Because those plastics aren't always just tossed in the ocean. Sometimes, you know, barges tip over and things blow into the ocean. It's not just that somebody's throwing it there. We're using those plastic things. And as long as we as a society say that's okay, then we're going to keep having the problem.
Yeah, definitely. One of the most striking moments that I remember from all my marine debris experience was last summer when I was with the Youth Conservation Corps on Tagetik, and I'm the crew leader for the Youth Conservation Corps, so I work with 4 or 5 high school students that are younger than myself. And one of the students, we were walking down the beach one day after cleaning up miles of marine debris, and I could see the connections like happening in her mind, like that what is going to happen to all this marine debris? Like, we were bagging it up and waiting for a landing craft to take it to Kodiak for it to go on the barge. But, like, she's like, well, can it be recycled? Or, like, what happens when it's recycled? And, not all of it can be recycled, and recycling's not the answer. And so it was really great for me to see that my crew that had never really experienced a place so remote before that had such a large amount of human impact on it, that they realized that they had to stop it at the source, which is people creating marine debris or creating waste plastics and waste in the first place. So I definitely think that's where education comes in. And so working with classes to make these Christmas ornaments I've worked with, marine debris with, projects with really little kids, elementary school level all the way up to high school, and that's where people are really making connections. So when you're young, you're learning habits that you're going to carry through the rest of your life. So if you decide when you're 10 that you're never going to drink water out of a plastic water bottle again, that's not reusable, then you'll do that for the rest of your life. And that's what really makes a difference. So if anyone is interested in helping with these classes that Bonnie's going to be holding or having their own, I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, I think when kids physically handle the garbage and when they look at the extent, how many bins of different colors we have just from, you know, just from a tiny edge of what was collected, they're always amazed. And they're amazed how, you know, how much there is. And that makes an impression on them because they're handling it. And then they make a piece of art, which is a fun experience. You know, we remember things according to our emotional connections. So they're having fun making these things, but they're thinking about what it is. And then we're hoping that people will see the ornaments and also realize that's marine debris, you know. There must be an awful lot of it up there for them to create this many ornaments. And maybe onlookers will also be educated a little bit.
It'll be interesting. I don't know what the other tree projects that are proposed are, but it's kind of interesting also that they're Christmas ornaments for, like, when I think of Christmas ornaments, I think of, like, family heirlooms that you, mm-hmm. like, pass down, like, use year after year. So it's kind of another statement in itself is having plastics that
society.
We're passing down.
Yeah.
Using instead for traditions pencil. In our society.
Huh. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Well, I love decorating Christmas trees. I'm actually Jewish, so I didn't grow up with Christmas trees myself, and there's something really special about getting together with other people in your office or with family or mm-hmm. anything like that and like examining the decorations because they're so
yes.
creative
mm-hmm.
and there's like so much color to them, and it's just really fun.
And a lot of times there's a story behind each one, where it came from mm-hmm. in that family and who made it and what country it was from. So that I'm hoping these will have a little story behind them for people.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any suggestions for people to get their kids inspired, to reach out to their neighbors or anything like that?
Sure. I think, first of all, they can walk down to the Harbor Master's office and look at that huge fish that my students help construct and notice what it's made of and think, wow, this is a piece of art. A lot of people come visit Kodiak and they get their picture taken here. And there's a sign there that says what it's made of. And so look at that fish and think about, how could I make a smaller piece of art from marine debris and create some awareness. So not just for the Capitol tree, but make things out of it and get people to think about it. And look at how long it lasts. Why are we using something that lasts so long, quite often for a single time, you know, whether it's a microwave dinner or a bottle of water. But I just really think those conversations need to start happening. And when you're working with art materials, you know, it's a good time to have some of those
right.
conversations.
Yeah, and I think that applies to anything we buy in a grocery store.
Oh, yes.
Because
the amount of packaging is amazing.
Right. People don't realize the packaging or even the contents. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
some of this
sure.
food doesn't have a lot of natural material
sure.
in it. And I remember uh-huh. asking my mom, like, a long time ago, Mom, I noticed some mold on this bread. Like, this is a big problem. Like, why are we buying things that mold? And she's like, That's a natural process.
Yeah.
Like, it should be molding after a few weeks. You don't want food that, like, doesn't change and doesn't mold. Or
right.
It's gonna mold eventually unless it's not made out of something that is, you know, natural. So I think that it probably helps kids realize what they're buying from stores and helps them realize that there's a natural alternative. A natural organic alternative.
And just to think for themselves instead of assuming everything is safe. I like to see kids know that it's okay to ask questions and to you know, just to demand that they are allowed to know what's in their food or why something has so many different levels of packaging. You know, I think we gotta get in the habit of asking and not accepting that it's okay the way it is.
Right. And could you talk a little more about the art project that is set up in town? Because I know you were a former student. And this is, when was this done?
Which one? This fish that's downtown? Fish. The sculpture, was that 2 years ago?
That was 2012 going 2013. So okay. It was finished in 2013.
Okay, so we got a local craftsman. His name is Brian Mullen. He crafted the armature out of aluminum so that it would be lightweight. And then we designed it so that kids could work on sections and wire the marine debris shapes onto the sections, and then we'd wire those onto the armature so that as many kids as possible participated in putting it together. And then another local artist, Marcine Masaryk, is here in town still, and he came and helped us with just the physical putting together of things, because there's a lot of being the art teacher, there was a whole lot of organizing and making sure things got put on tightly, so he came and helped me, and the school district was very helpful in creating a small grant to pay him and the sculptor. So there were a lot of people who helped put that thing together so that it'd be strong. And it's been there for 2 years now.
Yeah, 2 summers now. So,
and they put Christmas lights on it in the winter. And I think it's I'm really happy with the way it's holding up to the weather. I just hope people realize it's not just a cute thing, that it is a teaching thing too.
Right. And Layla, you worked on that?
Yeah, that was my senior year of high school. I helped work on that. And then we might have mentioned another marine debris sculpture. The first one was Ophelia, an octopus, who was down at the Harbor Master's office for a very short amount of time, and then now is displayed at the Seward Sea Life Center.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. How did that process happen?
Well, that sculpture was actually initially inspired by an Oregon artist who cleans up marine debris down on the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, and makes sculptures of marine life. So Bonnie was inspired by her and really wanted to get students involved, and so a lot of marine debris was accumulated in our classroom and then became an octopus over several months.
From island trails, they let us have, we could go through as much, many of those huge bags as we wanted to, and we pulled out things, and then the kids washed them and sorted and cut and drilled all those pieces. And then I had an idea, and then they were so wonderful to all work to do all the most of the labor, because it was a lot of labor, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
But the octopus, we found people could climb on it because it was down on the ground, and I realized it would not hold up here. That's why I said that Seward could have it, because it didn't really belong to anybody. I mean, nobody paid for it, actually. Yeah. So I kind of took the initiative and let Seward have it, because at the Sea Life Center, a lot of people see it there, and it's an excellent teaching tool. So when we did the fish, we lifted it up. It's up, not on the ground, so nobody climbs on it, and it's holding up a lot better. So that's why we did a second one, because we wanted something to stay in Kodiak.
All right, yeah, definitely. And to turn back to the project, the Capital Christmas Tree Project, I'm curious to learn a little bit more about the tree. Are you familiar at all with, it's coming from Sitka, you said?
It's a Sitka spruce.
Okay.
So that those grow here, too. So I'm not sure exactly where they're going to harvest the tree from. I should know all that stuff, but I'm mainly focusing on trying to get the art projects done. But if you go to the website, I could be, I hate to guess, it might be the Tongass National Forest.
I think it's, I'm going to mispronounce a lot of things here. Chukchi? No, not Chukchi. That's a C. All right, well, none of us know exactly, but it is
where
online.
The tree. Yeah, the tree will be harvested in Alaska and
Chugach.
Taken down.
Chugach.
Okay, that is a national forest.
Okay, now I remember, is from the Chugach, which is a gigantic forest.
Yes.
That's up on outside on the mainland. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the tree is from, because every year a different state decorates right. the Capitol tree. So every year is a tree from a different state?
Yes. Okay. The tree and the ornaments. And this hasn't been going very long. I was noticing it's just been a few years.
Okay, they have a lot of states to work through then.
Yeah.
Wonder if they'll use a palm tree from Florida. I don't know.
I was curious about that, and like a little alternative tree there.
But anyways, the main thing is that for here, that we want to get these marine debris projects done, and people can call me or they can contact, I don't know. They can call me, I guess, if they want to set up a...
Yeah, what's your number?
486-4607. And if they want to set up kind of a community event, I have some former students right now wanting to, we're going to ask the library if they'll let us make some there. But it really, anybody can do this. You know, just get a few friends together and make some of these. You do need to look at the lesson plans because they have certain sizes they want, and it needs to be well constructed, and it needs to have a strong hanger on it. So if you want to just do it from that, you can, from the website. If you want my help, you can call me. And yeah, and Layla's probably going to help me out at some point.
Yeah,
if she has time. She's doing a lot of art with kids at different levels this summer.
Yeah, I'm working for the refuge again this summer, and I'll be in town for about another month before I head back to school down in Oregon. So I'll be also helping with any projects that spring up in the next month or so.
Where are you going to school?
I go to Reed College in Portland, Oregon.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with Reed. All right. What are you studying?
I'm studying art. Studio art is my major, and I'm also taking a lot of environmental science classes.
Oh, perfect. This is just mm-hmm. up your alley. I can see how this transitions from from your classroom experience and mm-hmm. Your experience with Bonnie here.
Definitely.
So we're running out of time now, but thank you guys so much for coming in and talking to us about this project, which is so great to hear about. And hopefully we can have more stuff on air in the next few months because this thing is going to continue to happen.
We could advertise when we organize some of these events. We'll let people know through your community service announcements.
Right. Yes. And the workshops will pop up. So everyone keep tuned for the workshops that hopefully will pop up around town soon.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in.